Welcome to the Easeful Uplevel, where we talk all things conscious entrepreneurship, spirituality, and upleveling without stress. Together, Aaron Tobias, our marketing expert, meets with Allison Borstad, our mindset expert, where we just get into the nitty-gritty of what it means to figure out who you are, what your purpose is, and what your next steps are. Our goal is to make it as effortless and easeful as possible, even when you're going through hard times. Our goal is to get our mindsets right and get our energy right so that we feel like we can attack anything, we can accomplish anything. Consider this your energetic upgrade of the day. We hope you love this episode. I still feel a little bit like I've lost my true north a little bit. Maybe just with my own stuff. I don't know. That's, yeah, I'll have to like sit down and have a date with my, cause I'm just, I don't know what I want right now, you know?
Yeah, I know that. That's okay though.
But some of it too is coming right out of February. Like usually February is like a month where I just like tank with seasonal affective. That did not happen this year. Woo-hoo! However, I know, right? Like I didn't get sad this year.
That's good.
Like for the first time in 10 years, at least, right? Like this has been like a struggle as long as my adulthood. And maybe even when I was a kid, I just don't remember. So I'll take that as a win, but I wasn't feeling like my most creative self. Well, I had pockets. I had little moments of feeling very creative, but then I wore myself out too a little bit.
Yeah. I think, I mean, you have to allow for yourself to go through those natural seasons. I mean, I definitely have just been going through one of them too, and it's been okay. Like you can't just be on the highest high on the clearest vision all the time. That's just like an impossible expectations to have of ourselves. And I think a lot of internet gurus like prey on entrepreneurs because it is this constant feeling of like, am I going the right direction? And I feel like a lot of times what they sell you is like, well, they can help you put it all together. And I think really it's okay to have those times of like, you know, I'm just in my little cocoon right now. There's always like that door that opens. Like, for example, this whole month I've been like, okay, I need to like cocoon and remember who I am and like lean into the relationships that are meaningful for me in order to have like this next thing open up, right? I think that's the part that everyone forgets.
Yeah.
And like criticizes themselves for. Like,
yes. Yeah,
well, internal strife.
Right. Well, it's so interesting too, because like the theme of one of my last conversations was like catching ourselves when we're improving energy. Like, let me prove that I am enough and that I'm doing enough and that what I have is worthwhile and all that, that whole like, which is more or less the action that comes out of like that not enough feeling. I'm not doing enough. I haven't accomplished enough, which I think is just like such a thing, especially with entrepreneurs. We're always trying to prove ourselves. Let me show you like my service and my product and my you know, and there's like aspects of it where you like, even with marketing, right? You have to some degree prove the service is going to be worthwhile for people. Right. But I think it's just so interesting. Like you're saying of the marketing of some folks where they're like, you need my program because you're not enough. Let me tell you all the ways that you're messing it up.
Yeah.
Right. And literally there's like some people, I've even bought into some people who are, they're like, you're effing up your thing and you don't even know. And let me tell you how you're effing it up and you're ruining it all. And you could be making all this money, but you're not. And so like, how does that feel? And you're just like, it feels terrible. I guess I'll buy your thing for $1,500, you know, and then find out that it's a spreadsheet. No, I'm just kidding. But like,
right.
Some of the like the meanest marketing that I have bought into like had the least deliverables on the other side, and I was like, what have they done? I just bought
an Excel spreadsheet.
Yeah, like just because they made me feel bad enough about myself, and then they had the answers, but they didn't have the answers. None of us fully have the answer. You have to just like follow your intuition and be on your journey and stay on your journey
and honor nothing. Yourself. And if you look at your past month, as you've been doing what you need to do, like nothing's dropped. There's been no issues. I do want to get you to a place where you're feeling supported by your vision. But I also recognize that what you've been doing right now has been like unlocking new visions and new timelines for you. And I think that is like also what I strive to do with my business, is like let people have the room to breathe and have that experience. And I also have to trust that I'm in co-creation with God, that we are having this experience, right? Like, I think that is a huge thing that people forget. It's like we are co-creators, and our message is so much stronger whenever we lean into the spirit and let our spirit team, our angels, our our spirit guides, God, like also help us hold this container and this vision for what we're here to do on this earth.
Well, and it's so funny too, because it's like the things that we say to our clients are often the things we have to repeat to ourselves again and again, which is funny because a lot of the clients I attract are very similar to me. So of course we all need to hear the same messaging, which is it's working even when it seems like it's not. Mm-hmm. There's so much going on behind the scenes, especially when you kind of more or less hold the vision, right? Because like I have my grand vision doesn't go away, but sometimes I'm like, what am I doing this month, right? That's the question that I have right now is like, is it another workshop? It's more of like micro, right? What do I want to focus on this month? And some of that's being revealed to me. It's so funny too, how cyclical I notice that I am with some of these things. I'm like, yeah, every February is not my most productive month. I'm wintering, right? And then every March, I pop off on some kind of wild inspirational idea. So part of me is happy that I have some openings in my schedule because I am feeling the itch to write again. And I've had some feedback from some of my current clients that are in my group, The Overflow. Someone this morning said, you know, you said something last week that really impacted me. I took it to my therapist, actually, and we really dug into this. And I was like, what did I say? And they were like, if something as simple as, what if there's nothing actually wrong with you? You're just highly sensitive. And you just need to create a life that's super respectful of the fact that you're highly sensitive and don't apologize for it. Just be like, I get drained by this and this, so I'm going to do this thing instead. Mm-hmm. And she was like, that was revolutionary to me of like, maybe there really is nothing wrong with it. I just need something slightly different. And the different things that I need sound delicious. You know, she's like, staying home from this kind of event sounds amazing, right? Resting or going to read or do all these things. She's like, they sound so luxurious, right? To use your word, Erin.
Luxuriate.
Like, I want to luxuriate. And it's so funny that I think a lot of highly sensitive people do, like when you describe the most relaxing, beautiful, safe environment, they're like, yes, that sounds so good. And I have to wonder in terms of the way that highly sensitive people experience, you know, the intensity of the world. I also think that we experience good things more intensely too. Like, I think we luxuriate in like tastes and smells, like when it's good, when it's just right. I think that also hits us harder in a great way. So that's the beauty of like, yeah, all the loud noises and all the clamor out in the world can be really overstimulating. And under the right circumstances, when you're luxuriating, you are like real deep in it. And so I'm like, can we also just enjoy that aspect and give ourselves the opportunity? So that was a nice reminder to hear from someone that even sometimes the simplest message too. I'm like, oh, that was the message of all the things we talked about. She's like, that was the one. And I was like, that's really interesting. Thank you for that feedback.
I can relate because I've been doing that for my own self and it's been amazing. I haven't dropped any balls and I've taken way more rest and I've let myself do my process and I've trusted that I can do it. And like I kind of said, like sometimes you have to change your schedule around or communicate different boundaries, but yeah, I've been spending way more time in silence, way more time. My husband was like, you've been sleeping a lot. And it's like, yeah, I have been. It's been great. I've been taking all my naps. I've been doing like hour long meditations. I mean, it does feel very luxurious, but also I think it's also very productive because it's allowed for me to, I realize that my brain is like a computer. And so it very much feels like sometimes things get stuck in like the downloading phase. And so I have to be cognizant that I can't get too much like stuck up there. And I need to like let it process and like give myself time to process. I don't think anyone should feel apologetic is the word I want to use. I don't think anyone should feel apologetic for that. And we should start being vocal about how we are building that sort of time into our schedules. And I do try to post that stuff on my social media on purpose. Because I don't want people to think all I'm doing all day is just like producing, because I do produce a lot. We have a podcast. We have at least one of those episodes coming out a week. Sometimes we're filming two. I'm usually working on a website. Sometimes I launch multiple of those in a week. And then a lot of times there's also a media plan going on and coaching sessions and things. So it's like, it's not like work isn't getting done, but we also need to show what's going on around that, which is a lot of time for me to like meditate, write, reflect. And that's what fuels my ability to do. And if I don't keep up with like my meditation or my reflections, then it just turns to crap. Like everything just like falls away. So I quickly realized I cannot put those on hold for any other thing that needs to get done.
Yeah. Well, this is, I think, the really interesting thing. The season that I'm in now is that, you know, I've spent the last 4 years of my business really trying to create my ideal schedule. Like, and this has been such a process. And it used to be that I had literally every hour of the day booked out, right? Like, I'm a mom of two kids. Like, I was, you know, working with my husband's schedule. Therefore, I was contracting for different agencies. Like, my time was spoken for. And to find even one free hour a day felt impossible. And now that, like, the kids are a little older, they're in school, you know, I have kind of worked things out. I raised my prices. I did various things to set me up. And so now I usually work, like, I have a 6-hour work day, technically, in terms of like when I have childcare. I have these 6 hours from 9 to 3. And typically most days, only 2 to 3 of those hours are actually scheduled now. It used to be like sometimes back in the day, I had 7 back-to-back hour long therapy sessions, like boom, 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 boom. Yikes, right? I was so drained. And so I don't ever do that anymore. It's rare that I even have anything back-to-back. I used to always have things back-to-back. So it is really interesting that my schedule feels so flowy and leisurely. And for the first time ever, I don't have that pressure of like, oh my gosh, this, this, and this. Like, I'm hustling from one thing to the next. And my pattern has always been, weirdly, the more I have packed in, the more productive I am, because I'm like riding stress. Like, there's like a little bit of like a panic energy. I've only got an hour to do this. I better hustle. And it's so interesting now that I really don't have any of that hustle feeling. I think that there's a big part of me that keeps being worried. And this is a question I've actually gotten from some of my clients, is when you get so unpressured that you're like, is it becoming apathy that I feel unbothered? I could do this or I could do that. I'm going to go for the walk. Like, now I've gotten to the point of choosing the self-care so freely that I start wondering if it's undisciplined, right? Which I think is sometimes like a valid question. But I also kind of want to take this moment of pause as I'm talking to you, my podcast therapist here. You're like helping this click for me as I kind of speak it out loud. It is interesting where it is kind of that feeling when you get to a place of peace. Sometimes you're like, something's wrong, right? Like, I think sometimes people have had this experience too, even like leaving a toxic relationship or job or like things are so good. It's like that too good to be true mentality. Mm-hmm. And not that my life is perfect by any means, but I do feel like that with my schedule a little bit, because I even keep looking at the finances. Like, yeah, the money's still going in, but I'm not working as hard as I used to. I used to hustle so hard to make less. So it is interesting in terms of the integration of all of this, where my body and brain are kind of like, are we safe? Is this good? Is this like, this is working? Are we sure it's working? Is this fair? Is this allowed? Like, there's all of this that's really interesting in terms of there's the building up to the ideal schedule. And then once you're in it, it is like this really weird feeling of like, this feels foreign. And I've only been in this particular schedule now. It's been maybe a month or two, maybe a month. I don't know. I'm trying to think of like, in terms of once we finally settled into the house, the big move that we went through in November. And you know, now it's March. So I feel like the dust has settled, and now it is like this really interesting feeling of like, wow, I got everything that I wanted. Am I doing enough? Does this mean, like, I'm like, well, now I should probably stress myself out with some kind of project, right? Because like, I've rested enough. So it's just like the programming runs so deep, right? Of like, no, you're allowed to just rest and live your life like this.
Yes. And I would say, as your marketing advisor and business friend, please do not reach for the next thing to stress yourself out, because I've actually been holding on to a lot of vision for you.
In fact, I'm like, I'm ready for, I am actually ready for a project. I actually legitimately feel that way. I feel so rusted. But nothing.
We have our useful up-level Thought Girl Summer to look forward to that we're building out. So I'm excited about that. And I really want to, like, also within our program, really challenge this idea of creating from this place of, like, manic creation and really work to balance the nervous system so that we are more often than not starting to create from, like, a very grounded, stable, rooted, and knowing place. Because I think that is the difference between those who can go the long haul, those who can stand in front of a 30,000 person room and give a speech. That is the difference between thought leaders who can do that and thought leaders who, like, maybe are just like they have one great year and then they go away. And so
I think that is so wise because no, it's so interesting because a lot of creators, that manic energy that you're talking about is so common. I've been in that, you know, and there's a fine line between being in the flow and then you're right. And then sometimes there's like the point of you get, we're a fan of DeLulu. Let's not like play like we're not. But you know how sometimes you're like, this is the best idea ever, and this is the idea that's going to set my business over the edge. You know, and maybe it happens sometimes, but for most people, that's not actually the idea that's going to set your business over the edge. It's going to be one of like 100 ideas or 1,000 ideas, that, and you're just going to keep on moving forward. It's really probably the consistency more than that one idea, and maybe it gave you some momentum, right? But it is interesting, like, this concept of coming from a grounded place, I think, is really, really beautiful and really kind of speaking to that human design piece that we talked about in one of our last episodes, where I've had kind of human design experts talk about this too, of if you have this kind of creative flow, you never want to make any big decisions when you're like euphoric on cloud nine. Do not make any big decisions. And same with when you're like in the pits of despair, like, and having a really rough, irritable, cranky, depressed day, that's not the day to make any decisions either. Don't pull your program that day, or don't from a scarcity place launch something. I need money now. Let me just do, you know, like, don't discount all your things that day or whatever it is, right? Like, to make these really thoughtful ideas and then to stick with them for a while. Because I think that's the piece again that I'm coming to as well. Of, I definitely went through those kind of like manic creation periods, and I think maybe I'm getting less of that because my nervous system is swinging less too. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, to come up with like a really thoughtful, grounded message, I think this is why I come to you, Erin.
I can relate because I used to only create from the manic place as well. And I realized that in order to sustain the business and be here the way I want to be here, I had to figure out how not to be doing that. And so I had to go through a process where I literally taught myself. And if I feel that manic energy, then I know, like, okay, let me write down the idea, but I'm not actually going to implement anything or do anything. Maybe I just might have a few moments of, like, let me write it down. But I have strategically worked to create, you know, meditations for myself, grounding practices, writing, all those different ways that we can kind of get ourselves into our body. And then I've trained myself to work in that way. So it's like, if I'm going to create something, I want to be responsible with it. I want to support my audience in the best way possible. I know that I can't give them my full brain and attention. I can't use all five senses in order to create the thing that I want if I'm like all the way up here and maybe like I'm feeling like hyperactive, right? Because like you also taught me that there's just limits to what we can access in that point. You know, we get hyper-focused, our vision gets narrow. We can't see the full breadth of opportunity and possibility in front of us. So I realized that I was actually really doing my audience and myself a disservice from creating only from that place and not taking the opportunity to just like literally do the thing that I need to do. And usually it's only like 10 or 15 minutes in order to get myself into that place where I could see everything available and work in full
Well, and I do want to be clear real quick for anyone listening, if there's actual, you know, like clinical people, we're not talking about like clinical mania, just by the way, because that's its own diagnosis. We're talking about, you know, the more colloquial term or hyperfocus might, you know, or excitability or whatever maybe is the better word to use, just to be fair to anyone who's experienced a real mania. But I think people understand that like you said, that intense hyper-focused energy, again, you know, sometimes we love that because it's focused, but there is that tunnel vision is kind of rigid. And it's so interesting too, because I always think of like when it comes to mental wellness or mental not so wellness, that actually this ability to be expansive and look at things from all direction and not be overly rigid is actually a big sign of health in general. And so I love that you kind of mentioned that too. Like, let me look at all angles here.
Yeah, I know that it can be like also feel like very resistant to let go and not be in that place, because it is of euphoria, because it is kind of fun. Like, it feels really exciting. It feels like you're on the edge of a cliff. Like, it's a really fun
dopamine
feeling.
Rushing, right? It's addictive.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like dopamine. It's,
honestly, anytime people are in hyper focus, if we were to measure what's going on in your neurotransmitters, likely it would be that you had a bunch of your own dopamine flowing. It's kind of like homemade, you know, Adderall, right? It's like flowing, and you're so focused that it's hard to kind of pull yourself away. And there is a point too where you start to crash, and sometimes people resist. Like, this is the point where I need to step away. I need to go to sleep. I need to drink some water. I need to have a meal. Like, you almost forget even to like take care of yourself sometimes too, right? In those moments. But I do think this is really interesting too, like to come back into this grounded piece. I'm a big fan of Dr. David Hawkins did this levels of consciousness kind of graph. Google it. I've kind of created my own interpretation based on that and a handful of other things of like these levels of creation. And you're actually really speaking to something in terms of the excitability piece of it, or like the intense, like the desire, the pride. There's other things that go into it that can be kind of like coming from the ego, I guess, right? Of like, or the proving energy sometimes too. Like, let me, this is
going back
be
to
it.
That like proving energy piece.
It's like, and there might be some good ideas in it. It's not that the ideas aren't good, but there is like this almost like pressured, almost graspy energy behind it too. That's really interesting. And as you kind of go up these levels of consciousness, it's really interesting that like the highest levels, ideally where we're in this like really beautiful co-creative flow with the universe, is you're up in like love, joy, which I think different than like just happiness or relatedness. To me, like, joy is more of like this grounded, it has a more spiritual quality to it. But above that is peace, and then there's like this either enlightenment, union, prayer, insight, whatever you want to think about it. But peace is the level right before you get the divine download on these, and there's like multiple, if you Google levels of consciousness, lots of different people have made their own, but it's really interesting that oftentimes people calibrate peace as being the thing that's right next to actually the true genius. Cause there's some things, like you said, artists, where you might like, this song is banging and this like piece of art is amazing. Although sometimes you can listen to that stuff and you're like, this person was going through it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And this is why it's so moving, is because like they have elicited like a deep, intense emotion that might have been actually more like struggle bussy, you know, and like a little more like we're relating to the human aspect of the vulnerability of it versus something that's truly like divine in some ways, that's would have this kind of like peaceful quality to it. So I think it's really cool that you're kind of tapping into that. There are like these higher levels of your marketing even, or your ideas or your creation of like what energy are we coming out of this? And also, is it up to me to come up with all of this, or can I co-create with the universe and God and other people and my highest self?
Yeah, it does take some pressure off. I think one thing you said to me throughout our podcasting process that really also got me to like think about this was when we recorded that one day, and we recorded like 2 hours or an hour. We recorded a whole podcast. It was at least 40 minutes and nothing recorded. And you were like, if we could spit fire we can do it again. Or you said, like, if we could spitfire that one, like, during that one podcast, like, we can show up and do it again, or something to that nature.
There's more where that came from.
Yes.
We can bring our magic back to it. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so I had to, that made me think, like, yeah, we can do it again. And how do I start to think about my work differently? I mean, I think also it's like getting back to that like low vibrational energy. If I don't think that the idea is going to come back, or if I don't think I can say what I said again, then how much do I trust myself? What is my worthiness level? What is my confidence level? I think worthiness and confidence, I'm also learning, are different things. Jamie Kern Lima just wrote a beautiful book called Worthy that I've been reading. And she does a lot about this. She says you can have a lot of confidence. You can achieve a lot of things that give you confidence. But at some point, if you do not feel worthy of what you have achieved, then you will do things like self-sabotage, or not think that you are enough in order to receive what you've received. I think that also kind of like gets into the feeling of like, oh, maybe I can't do it again because these ideas were just a fluke. So it's really interesting. I've been really enjoying her work. And I would recommend anyone who's listening to this to pick up that book, because there's some really interesting insights around this topic. And she gives some really like tangible examples of how we all are experiencing different levels of confidence and worthiness at all different times throughout our entrepreneurship career.
That sounds amazing. Wait, who's Jamie? What's the last name?
Jamie Kern Lima.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll put it in the notes too. But yeah.
She also wrote a book called Believe It, which is really good too. So okay. She's amazing.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Yeah. Well, if this is such a cool conversation that I think, again, our conversations are always so timely for what season we're in. Because even that concept of when you come up with something that you feel like is good, and then you lose it. I mean, that's also the worst feeling if anyone's like written half a paper and then somehow deleted it. Or even sometimes this happens with like writing a social media post that I'm really proud of.
All the time.
It takes me 30 minutes and it's lost. I'm like, oh my gosh, I could never do it again. You know, it's like this moment of drama. But I oftentimes think about stuff like this as being like the mandalas that Buddhist monks will make with sand, where they will make these beautiful, like incredibly ornate, I don't know, art, right? Mm-hmm. And the whole idea is when you're done, you throw it. You either throw it away or you throw it in the river or something. But the idea That's is cool. that you make the most beautiful thing you've ever seen and then you ditch it. And sometimes people are like, oh my gosh, well, we want to keep it. And their whole thing is like, yeah, we're trying not to cling even to beauty, even the most beautiful thing that you've ever seen. You don't need to cling to it, because then you feel like, I need that. I need that to be okay. Now that I've seen that, that's beautiful. I want to look at that every day. I need that. And then their whole thing is like, honestly, the act of doing it is the most beautiful thing, even more than seeing the beauty that comes out of it. And I think that's really interesting too, even in terms of depending on what people's business is. I think we're all perfecting our craft as we go. And I once heard advice from a painter to novice painters when someone said, how do you get really good at painting? And they're like, oh, make 1,000 terrible paintings.
Yeah.
No, they were like, they said, be prolific, paint every day, let it be trash, let every day be terrible, because one of these days something really amazing is going to come out of it, but you're not going to get to it without doing like 100 terrible paintings first. So I do think it's, and even the idea of if you get to a really beautiful piece of work, that's still not the pinnacle. Keep going, because there's going to be more, like as you go, you just keep growing and expanding. So every little step, right, is it's not just the moment that you're doing now, but it's what it's also kind of like growing into and leading to. So I think that's just like a nice thing too. Like every day, this is not the end all be all. This is not the last opportunity that's going to come to you. So if someone offers you something, I know Aaron and I talk about this a lot, of sometimes people will offer us things, contracts and things that we haven't asked for, where we're like, no. We're only humans. Our eyes will go to the money and we'll be like, ooh, they want to pay me. What? Cool. And then you'll look into the job description and you'll be like, oh.
Yeah.
Do I want to do that? Or and even you get to a point of business too, where you're like, actually, that stuff that I've done before, I don't mind doing that. Like, that's fine. But is it really what I'm trying to do over here, right? Or is it on the highest path? You get to a point of being like, no, actually, even though this is even a decent opportunity, I wouldn't mind it, it might pull some bandwidth, so I'm going to say no to that. But there is a part of your brain that's like, what if I don't get another opportunity? What if I don't get another client? What if I don't do all this kind of stuff? And I think it's helpful to be like, the other opportunity is coming, especially if you keep moving forward and kind of aligning with the higher next level energetically.
Yeah. I get into this conversation a lot with people, especially when I'm like working with my intuitive group and we're like sitting there, you know, channeling messages or trying to read chakras or whatnot. And I think the first thing that comes into my mind every time I'm trying to do something new or different, or I mean, it doesn't even have to be new. It could be like just like channeling or looking at chakras. It's always like, I'm not going to get any messages. I'm not going to be able to do this. I can't do this. There's no way what I'm seeing is real. It's bad. Like, I can't do this. It's not going to be good. And I acknowledge that in my head because, and I want to talk about that and tell people that happens to me because it happens every single time. Like every time I go into an act of creation or when I go to send that email pitch or when I sit down to write or when I sit down to do this intuitive work, it happens every single time. And I think that number one speaks to the things that I work on, which is about around people pleasing and all that stuff and self-confidence and worthiness. Like those are all things I'm still working on. But I've also learned that on the other side of that negative self-talk, if I can just set that aside, put it in a box and say, well, what if what I'm seeing is true? What would be my next step? What would I say? What messages are on the other side of this negative moment that I'm having with myself? What if I just started writing anyways? What if I sent the email anyways? Like, what if I did all these things? What could happen? And then start moving forward. And I think a lot of times we let that moment of negativity stop us from taking even the smallest half step forward. And I think that's also something that's not talked about enough. It's like we all have those moments of being like, I'm not going to be able to do it this time. And we just have to acknowledge that that's part of the process and we set it aside and move forward anyways.
Well, I think that speaks to anytime you're doing something where you're pushing yourself out of your comfort zone, right? So probably eventually you'll get to, this is like semi newer to you within the last few years, you know, what you're doing with the intuitive work, where there's still some of it where you might feel like a bit of a novice, right? Or this is somewhat new. And so you haven't proven to yourself 1,000 times that you can do it easily. Whereas there might be other things that someone asks you to do and you like without even questioning, you'd be like, oh, okay, here. But I think that's really interesting in terms of anytime you're doing something new or newer, like our mind and our body just resist it. Actually, I talk about this a lot with people making changes to expect resistance, expect it. If this is new or even slightly out of your comfort zone, a little bit difficult, even though a lot of times the things that we think are difficult really aren't. It's just that it's that mental resistance, right? But in all, what is resistance? It's just fear, right? And it's okay. Yeah. And I think it's, there are moments too of even sometimes expecting it. I actually even find it too with certain things, maybe that aren't even necessarily out of my comfort zone, but like I teach yoga every Wednesday online, which if anyone ever wants to pop on in, you'll link it in the show notes. But I've been doing this every single Wednesday for like 3 or 4 years at this point. I've lost count. Have rarely missed a Wednesday. And, you know, it is interesting that 5 minutes before, every time I'm like, oh, I don't want to teach yoga. And I think it is just like I have to be on to a group of people. And anytime I have to be on to a group of people, even when it's something, even with some of my groups that I love doing, I have this moment of like, oh, no.
I'm not going to be able to do it this time, or like, I'm going to disappoint them.
There's like a little voice in my head that's like, just cancel it. And I never do, but it's so interesting that I'm like, I don't want this. And then usually within a handful of minutes or like halfway through, I'm loving the experience. And I'm like, I am so glad. And this is, and I always want to cancel yoga. I don't know what it is about teaching yoga. It's like an impulse. It's never, I've had it every single damn class, even when I know I need to. And the reason why I even keep it on my schedule is because I feel I need it, like even not just the teaching, but the me actually doing, because I do the yoga with people and it's very intuitive and it is so healing and good for me. And like, why my brain and body resist it I don't know, but it's, I just expect it though. I notice that pattern. So I think it's just something too, that maybe if you're a bit sensitive or introverted or like, oh, I gotta be on, or I gotta put energy out, you might have a little bit of moment of that too, and that's okay.
Yeah.
And to just honor that, and then also give yourself time to like do whatever turtly thing that you need to do afterwards to kind of go inward, or go in, as Aaron says, go into your cave.
Yes, I love my cave, my salt lamp, and my dark room. I love it. Oh, well, we wish everyone happy creating this week. Mm-hmm. And if you want to dig into more of these topics, we will be hosting a group this summer, starting in May, just Thought Girl Summer.
I love this. I'm here for the name, if nothing else. For all of our budding thought leaders out there, all those people who are like at the top of their field, they're expert, they do something slightly different than everybody else, and it just seems to work even better, right? There's we love working with these clients and really bringing them to the center of their genius, right? And owning it and expressing it, getting out there in the world and sharing their gift with other people. We're really excited to take a cohort through this and have a really amazing transformative journey, right? Where you are here to be the thought leader that you are and to make the
moves. Yes, girl, you're stepping into your own. So releasing more information about it soon. But we know that many of you have been asking what our next project is. And so sneak peek, this is the next thing. So put it on your calendars. We are launching in May. The course will likely run through July. So it's going to set you up very nicely, especially for anything that you want to do in the back half of this year in order to be able to achieve that and create from your highest potential. So have a good week, and we'll talk to everyone soon.